Good evening, everybody. Yesterday, I got to partake in quite the activity with some of the gentlemen from this congregation as we finished putting up the solar panel array that we have there behind the building. And it was a pretty interesting experience. There were definitely some highlights, but it was a lot of fun. We had 20 to 30 guys came out, and we started in the middle. We had 105 panels that we had to put up, and we pretty much broke it up into two teams. One team worked their way to the east and one team to the west. And really, I just couldn't pass up on the opportunity to show you guys a couple of pictures that I took. Here, you might not see them, but on the left, we got Todd Rogers. And on the right, we got Kenny Perry. They're completely sprawled out over the solar panels. And I was just, especially Kenny, he was just doing that all morning long, just making sure everything was in. So I couldn't pass up on that. And so it's cool to have all that done, and obviously a big thanks to Art Moore for all the work that he's put in on that project. Really want to thank each and every one of you for being here tonight. I know when you don't preach on a regular basis, it's a really special opportunity when you do get to come up here and share some of God's Word with fellow Christians, and I really relish each and every one of those experiences and opportunities that I've get. I've done this five or six times now, and I'm starting to feel pretty comfortable up here, which is a little weird to say. But if you're visiting with us tonight, we really just appreciate the fact that you made a decision to be here with us. This is obviously a very busy time of the year for a lot of folks, but you chose to be here tonight with us to worship God, and we're just thankful for that. Tonight, I want everyone to listen up. And what we're going to talk about tonight is a discussion that if anybody in this room needs to hear, it's me. But I think it's a discussion that a lot of Christians can benefit from. You see, the world that we live in today is a world of chatter. There's a lot of talking going on. And while the world has quite a lot of things to say, well, the world's not very good about listening to one another. As Christians, we need to be careful to avoid this kind of characteristic, especially in our conversations with God. Now, society will say otherwise. As we know, when we live a Christian life, we often fight against the grain of the world. But what we say matters, and we need to be careful of what comes out of our mouth. We need to listen to God every single day. And if one thing is certain, the world, well, it just doesn't buy a whole lot of stock in the business of listening. I've had the privilege of growing up in this generation, where we have a great deal of technological advances. Now, I guess you could argue that every generation gets to experience its own set of technological advances. But one thing that's interesting about the things that I have seen in my time growing up in this world is that technology has really become a microphone. When you think about it, you today have the opportunity to share your opinion, share really anything you want, say whatever you want, and reach more people around the world than you ever have been able to. A great example of this is the fact that every single day, I want you to think about this, every single day, 500 million tweets are written. That's one outlet of social media. Never mind Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and what else is out there. I mean, honestly, it's gotten to a point where it's even surpassed some of what I know. But there is a whole lot of things being said in the world that we live in. And society, it's encouraging, especially younger people and 20-somethings such as myself, that we really need to express our opinion. We need to confidently establish what we believe and what we have to say. Now, certainly, this can be a great thing because this helps build self-confidence and conviction in young people. And I think that's something that everybody wants to have, especially I know parents would want to see in their children, to have them grow up with some self-confidence, especially parents who are trying to raise their kids in the faith. And that's certainly a good thing, but we need to be careful. Because as I get older, I'm starting to see an attitude among my generation that it's less about me expressing my opinions. It's now turned into, I'm going to say whatever I want, and if you disagree with me, well, I'll have nothing of it. I'm not going to listen to you. And the world, what I'm realizing, is starting to say, don't let anyone tell you how to live your life. Don't let anyone tell you what you should believe or not. You are your own person, and nobody can tell you otherwise. Now you start to approach a fine line between building self-confidence and turning into somebody, as Jesus said in Matthew 13:13, having ears, they don't hear me. Somebody who is not willing to listen to others. People perhaps with more wisdom. How about God? So what does God have to say about all of this? What does God say in the matter of what, how we talk and how we listen? Well, Jesus, he's really not vague about the manner. We read in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruits. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out his good treasure, what is good. And the evil man brings out his evil treasure, which is evil. But I tell you that every careless word, notice, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Question. As Christians, classmates, co-workers, parents, and children, do we value the words that come out of our mouth as much as Jesus tells us to? Are we ready to give an account for every empty word that we say in the day-to-day of our lives? Uh-oh. I'm sure all of us have memories and times where we can think back and just say to ourselves, I can't believe I said that. Perhaps you've lost relationships with close friends, even family members, because you said something that you deeply regret or something was said to you. See, what we say, it matters. It matters as simple as between humans and other humans. But you see, society's even most decorated class seldom heeds to this advice. It seems like every single week, somebody comes out in the media and says something that offends a group, that ruins their reputation, ruins their career. I saw something in the news, many of you might be noticing this, the head football coach at Ohio State. He's in trouble because his assistant coach was involved in some activity and he knew about it and he didn't do anything about it. Details don't really matter for the sake of this conversation, but what matters is he issues an apology, but his apology was so disingenuous that he had to issue a second apology about his first apology. And now he's just stuck in the mud in his own words. You see, that coach was lazy with his language. Not in a way that he was cursing or saying anything inappropriate. He was just lazy because he didn't take into account that a disingenuous apology in that situation would get him in even more trouble. You see, because we hear all the time, James says in his book, you know, the tongue is a fire, the tongue is rarely tamed. But seriously, what we say matters. Now, what we say to one another certainly matters, but I argue what we say to God matters even more. Consider Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Guard your steps as you go into the house of God. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they're doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven, you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of a messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on the account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in many reasons and in many words there is emptiness. Rather, fear God. I mean, that verse puts it perfectly, that passage does. Exactly what we say. People ruin careers and reputations and relationships on their words. See, it takes years for people with the work of their hands to establish themselves in whatever industry or whatever job or whatever relationship that they possess. But notice, the account of your voice can destroy all the works of your hands. And it's amazing how just one slip up with your voice can bring this great work with your hands. It can all just come tumbling down so quickly. But notice even in prayer, guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Draw near to listen. Let your words be few. I'm guilty of this. Maybe we can relate to this, but are we choice with our words in prayer? Are we always sure to thank God in our prayers? Or are we just kind of throwing some requests at God and just hoping something sticks on the wall? God, I want this, 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 and that, and maybe I'll get something out of that. I mean, when we go to God in prayer and we just ask, 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 and we ask selfishly, I mean, how do you think God takes that prayer? I mean, he probably sits up there and just thinks, really? The fact is that if we're going to put effort in the way we talk to one another, we need to put much more effort in the way we talk to God. God is our creator. God is the sustainer of life. And we have to really think about the things that we say to God when we go to him in prayer. So, I don't want anyone to be confused. This passage does talk about using choice words in prayer. Does that mean I should limit the amount of times I pray to God in a week? Maybe I should take a break from praying. Maybe I'm feeling insecure about my prayers. That's not at all what I'm saying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. God wants your prayers. God does not want you to stop talking to him. But God wants you to respect the conversation. God wants you to understand who it is that you're reaching out to. What we say, it matters. So, for as much as we talk to God, how much should we listen? How do we listen to God? What does he have to say? Well, that's where we come to the point of listen up. Because God, his form of communication is unique. It's because it's in his word. God speaks to us with this. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Can't be much more clear than that. Consider with me John chapter 10, verses 24 through 30. The Jews gathered around him, this is Jesus, and they were saying to Jesus, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, just tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one. You see, the Jews that asked Jesus this question or really challenged Jesus, they were not choice with the words that they used to approach him. They just said, Jesus, if you're the Christ, just tell us. When Jesus himself says, well, you don't believe. You're not of my sheep. And notice how he describes his sheep in this passage. He says, my sheep hear my voice. So think about Matthew 13:13, having ears, but they do not hear. Jesus says, no, my sheep actually hear me. Well, what does that mean? He even says, I know who they are. Jesus recognizes those who actually will listen to him. And what's the result? Well, they follow me. You see, those who commit themselves to actually listening to what God has to say, listening to Jesus and his teachings in the Bible, not only will they be recognized, they will know to change the way they live. That's really the pathway of Christianity, is it not? You hear the words of God, you actually listen to them, and you change your life and follow Christ. That's the value of listening to God. See, if we want to be secure, look at the security that comes from this verse. Jesus gives to them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one snatches them out of my hand. And he concludes it by saying, I and the Father, that is the Creator, that is God Almighty, they're one. Randy talked about this morning the calmness that Paul possessed in the darkest of times. And it's really easy to understand that Paul could have that calmness because he understood this concept. He knew that not even death could keep him from the Father. In fact, Paul probably realized himself, if I die, I go to heaven. And if that's the worst thing that's going to happen to me, then he's probably going to be all right with it. So if you want to have that kind of security as a child of God, you have to be willing to listen to what God has to say to you. But listening to God, it requires a little more effort than the communication that we're all so used to. You think about it, especially the communication I have. I can talk to you directly. I'm very apt with a cell phone, so I can call you, I can FaceTime you, I can see you face to face. I can shoot you a text message. And, you know, people my age, they're so good at texting, they could fire 10 text messages back and forth in a span of like 2 minutes. You can get an entire conversation as fast as talking. You can send an email. If you're on social media and the person you're trying to get a hold of, they happen to be on social media at the same time, you guys can have a whole conversation right there. It's easy to communicate with other people. That may sound ironic because oftentimes communication can be difficult in understanding one another, but the actual mechanics of communicating with you and you communicating with me, it's fairly simple. But communicating with God, it's a little bit more complicated. You see, God wants active listeners, active participants in the conversation. That's why we have to go to God in prayer, and we don't just get this thundering answer back on us as soon as we say amen. God gives us a challenge. God says, you want to find the answer? Luke 11:9, seek and ye shall find. But before you find, you have to seek. And that requires effort. And I think that's where we, and especially myself, I can fall into the bad habit of becoming a bad listener. Because I'm so used to this quick kind of communication, just back and forth, easy, shoot a text, get a call, you know, respond to a social media post, whatever. It's so simple that it's often hard for me to just sit down, turn everything off, and spend an hour in the Bible. That's not the kind of communication that I grew up using. What do you mean I actually have to sit down? And the answer is not on the first page? I got to go look for it? You see, technology is a great thing. It's allowed us to be much more expansive in our communications, but it inherently makes us lazier, especially when it comes to listening. But the reality is, just because technology allows us to communicate more quickly, that does not mean that God is going to make his answers, his side of the conversation, easier to find. We need to be active in our listening. So the real question is, how often then should I seek God's word? What's the balance? How often do I talk to God and how often do I listen to him? Well, my short answer for listening is you got to listen to him daily. And then, of course, we read in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. So I'm supposed to pray and listen all at the same time now. But it's understanding that when you need to talk to God, you go to God in prayer. But it's understanding that when you go to God in prayer, you have reverence for who you are speaking to. It's your Creator. And understanding the idea that we need to seek God's word daily, well, it's because to truly understand God's word, we need to be on it daily. There's so much to study. Psalm 119:11, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have to take this word of God that is so expansive, so much for us to study, and it takes so much of our time to understand it. We have to treasure it in our hearts. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So not only is the Bible God's half of the conversation, but it's a tool that God has given to us. And we are responsible for knowing how to handle it. And the only way to really get accustomed to handling this tool is you got to use it. And you got to be in it constantly and understanding it. Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. We understand the benefits that come from listening to God. But to go without forgetting the teachings of God, our minds can only take so much. And it doesn't take long when we stop studying this book for us to just start forgetting about the things that we learn in this book. It's like Jason said in his Wednesday night talk last week. The more you study, the more you want to study. And the less you study, well, the easier it is to kind of let it slip away. We need to be in God's Word daily. There's a lot to study and we have to keep up with it. And if we can do that, I truly believe that we will come to peace and come to understand that the Bible really becomes the key to our salvation. It really becomes the tool that we can use to be with God for eternity one day. We just have to listen. And it sounds so simple. But we have to understand that we fight constantly against the grain of the world. The world wants things quickly. The world wants things to be done at a very rapid pace. The world doesn't really want us to be listeners. They want young people to really express themselves and whenever there's disagreement, just shield themselves from that kind of disagreement. As Christians, we need to understand that God expects us to spend time in His Word. And that when we sit there and wonder why, well, God, I'm praying to you every day and I'm sending all these prayers and all these requests and nothing's getting done for me and I don't know where to go. That means we're not listening. We have to listen to God. We have to go into His Word. Seek and ye shall find. The answers are there for us. So, we as people, well, we have and we will always have something to say. Folks, tomorrow, 500 million more tweets, they're going out. And the next day, going out. And they're all unique, individual. Everybody's got something to say. Everybody's got an input. And everybody now has the platform of social media to project it out to the entire world. But God, remember, has things that He has to say Himself. God's got some things He wants to say. And it's pretty well documented for us right here in the Bible. So let's be careful as Christians not to suppress His words for the sake of engaging in worldly conversations. The Bible, it puts it very nicely, in my opinion. I think when you fuse two verses together, it tackles the whole issue. Proverbs 18, verse 2, and James 1, 19. A fool does not delight in understanding. A fool doesn't want to listen. Only in the revealing of his own mind. The fool, he just wants to send his tweets and just go and go and go. Won't take any time to listen. But James 1, 19 says, this you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That's all I got for you guys tonight. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your attention. Again, this is something that really, I've drawn inspiration from this. This is something that I struggle with. I've spent a lot of times, I know I talk to Dad about this all the time. If I were to go in an interview and my prospective boss were to ask me what my weakest trait was, I would tell him I would like to be a better listener. And while it's okay to sit there and say we all got faults and you know, we're human and, you know, Romans 3:23, we all sin and fall short, God expects us to work on these things. And this study for me personally has now set forth a challenge for me to slow down and to study God's Word. And I hope that as I've presented this to you tonight, you can have a similar inspiration. So tonight, if you are a Christian, and you have this similar struggle of mine, and you just haven't been listening to God as much you have. Maybe you've been struggling the fact that you haven't talked to God as much as you have. Maybe you struggle with prayer. This congregation is here to help you. And there's a lot of people that would be willing to sit down and study with you, to pray with you, and encourage you. But at the end of the day, we've got to get ourselves more in prayer and more in the Bible. At the end of the day, no matter how you get your help, so long as it gets you more involved in the conversation with God daily, that's the goal. And if you are not a Christian and you're here tonight, God is speaking to you right now. And He wants you to listen. And if you're wondering what He's saying to you, you can find it in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 38. Because God is asking you to repent of your sins and to be baptized so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of your sins, and most importantly, to be added as a part of God's family so that someday you can join the brethren with God in heaven. Is there anything we can do for you at this time this evening? Why don't you let it be known as together we stand and sing. Larry?
the bathroom will raise happy songs in its praise when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth, songs of sadness on mirth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come. But our joy can't compare with the glory up there when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, would be heard in that land on the foam. Every heart will be light, and each face will be bright, when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home.
Please be seated.